Rasta man, hey ruffian, in the onion of we got to come out together as one.
Yeah. All right.
Hey Rasta man, hey ruffian, in the onion of we got to come out together as one.
Oh man, Lucky Dubay. Bada Dubay. Brings back a lot of good memories, huh?
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Reminds me of Donga.
Well, let's get into this.
Let's go.
All right. The following contains content not suitable for the youth under the age of 17 without adult supervision. So if you could, please, remove the children or listen to this on a better time. Give you a couple seconds. Three, two, one. I feel indigenous. Okay, anyways, getting back to it. Welcome to aisle 7. My name is Savage, and this is my wife,
Leithy.
We are in the Cove right now, our home base of operations. And this is Beach Talk for the Long Walk. Mm-hmm. Episode 5.
Wow, man, 5.
Just step by step, man. I'm not in a rush.
No.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's just flow.
Let's flow, okay. Mm-hmm. We here would like to thank Anchor for the free distribution of our podcast. We here don't take that lightly. Go ahead and download the Anchor app. And look us up at Aisle 7, the podcast. It's all about self-progress. Today's episode is dedicated to the victims of the Beirut, Lebanon explosion that occurred Tuesday, the 4th of August, 2020. We don't know the amount of people passed or what the cause of it was, but our spirit and prayers are with the families affected. So, thoughts and prayers, man.
Yes.
And condolences as well.
Yes.
It's such a, so such sad. It's a very horrible video to watch.
I know.
It's scary. Our thought of the day. Take the day off and relax. Take the day off and relax. What do you think about that?
Yeah, take the day off and relax.
Don't overwork yourself, man. Yeah. If your body is just telling you to take this day off, take the day off, man.
Yeah,
it's easy, as simple as that. You need to relax sometime. Our song of the day comes by of Jayco, Oh Yeah, released in 2009, featuring Snoop Dogg. Oh, yeah, 2009, man. Yeah. It was a great year for songs.
That's when we met.
Yeah, man.
Than the preacher. I told you I'm a baller, push the legs with no feature. I learned it in the streets with no respect to school teachers. I was eager while spitting that ether. The hottest rapper dropping, you can ask to sing your ether. And all my little chickens clean and slinging in the villa. To big ass yachts and ball parties on Catalina.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
Wake up in bed in the morning, oh yeah. I see my girl big titties, oh yeah. Yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah. All right, cool.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. So yeah, Jayco featuring Snoop Dogg, Oh Yeah, released in 2009. Yeah, so go ahead and tag us in a video of you on Instagram vibing to that in your story at Aisle 7, the podcast. The number of the day is 0. Wherever you are when you come across the number, 0, dwell in the moment. Try to catch a message. Our color of the day. Would you like to read that?
Yep. Color of the day is gold.
If you see it, say it. Well, I don't have gold, so.
No.
Nah, that shit is fake.
Gold.
Oh, gold. Yeah, that's. Yeah, it is gold. Okay, cool. So we got some gold.
Yeah.
All right. Moving forward. Person of the day. Marcus Garvey. Go ahead and do your research, get some study on the Mr. Marcus Garvey. Very, very prominent figure in not only just world history, but especially in Black, African, Jamaican. I mean, as much colored history as you can get into. I mean, this guy paved the way for a lot of not only Caribbean, minorities, but he really solidified us as a colored people in the world. So Marcus Garvey, go ahead and do your research and study on him. Our quote of the day. Would you like to go ahead and read that, ma'am?
Quote of the day. Knowledge makes me unfit to be a slave.
That's powerful.
I heard that is.
That came by way of Mr. Frederick Douglas. Sometimes I'm often referred to as the tropical Frederick Douglass. But yes, knowledge makes me unfit to be a slave. So if you have knowledge, man, I mean, it's really I don't want to say Kanye was right, but if you choose to be a slave, that's because you're comfortable with that way of living, man. Slavery is not right, and we don't advocate for that, nor do we condone it. So, yes, knowledge makes me unfit to be a slave, yeah. By Frederick Douglass. Our goal of the week. Don't spend more than $100 this week. Our goal of the week is trying not to spend more than $100. So, capping out at just $100. That means every day we can spend... No, we can't. So just the whole week we can't
just
spend...
Just don't limit yourself, but just...
No, you know. The goal is... We're setting that goal for the week, okay. To not spend $100.
Yep.
If we can get that money for... Okay.
Hey, God is good,
man. God is good all the time. Our congratulations. We want to give congratulations to Mr. Dwayne The Rock Johnson, the new owner of the XFL, Dwayne The Rock Johnson. I mean... Color-owned business makes me proud because I have nothing against white people, but, I mean, I haven't watched the NFL since Colin Kaepernick left. And what better way to get back into football than the XFL itself? So, to you, Mr. Dwayne The Rock Johnson, thank you for your endeavors. Thank you for employing more people and giving them jobs because, I mean, that's really important in our community. So, thank you for that.
Thank you, man.
Our workout tip for the week... 25 jumping jacks. A set of 25 jumping jacks. Whether you do it morning, noon, or night, knock them out. All right? Get the heart rate pumping. Mm-hmm. This episode, we don't have a PI scene to feature. So, you know, if you know anybody or if you yourself are interested, go ahead and hit us up on Instagram or email us at owl7thepodcast@gmail.com. And, you know, give us your information on what you're doing, whether it's a business, you know, entrepreneurship, or whatever the case might be, and we'll try to feature you on the next episode. So, yeah, moving forward. Do you have an opening statement?
Do I have? Yeah. Be still.
Be still. Okay. For my opening statement, man, I mean, this is kind of underrated, and it's cliche, but really, you know, don't think of the actual saying, the metaphor itself, but turning the other cheek. It's so easy to fuck up what you got going in your life when you react to what the world throws at you. If you can control the situation, control the damn situation. And if you can't, walk away, turn the other cheek. But turn the other cheek really just meaning, you know, if you're able to walk away, just do it. What's the worst that can happen? Then talking shit, so what? At least you walk away with your life and, you know, you're happy. And that doesn't affect your life to a personal detail. So turn the other cheek. Well, we're at our point of prayer, our prayer point. And, you know, this is the most important segment of our podcast.
Yes.
If we can't get this done, then we can't move on doing anything. We just want to give thanks to Jah the Almighty who gives us these opportunities.
Yes.
And, you know, we're just grateful for that. So,
yeah.
Also, we have you guys in our thoughts and prayers. So, if you could, just give us a few seconds, and we're going to pray for you guys. That being said, let us begin. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. I love you.
Love you too.
Okay. Well, I mean, while we're on the topic, that explosion was really scary.
Yes, it was.
I mean, I can't.
It's just so crazy that we're watching it and we're, you know.
Yeah.
How do you say it? Like, not being able to do anything. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, to see that happening today, it's like. It's crazy. You know, could you imagine if it was a setup?
What do you mean?
Like, with everything happening in this world, you just don't know what... Oh, you know what I mean?
You're saying as far as the media.
Yeah.
Yeah, like if it's fake. Or,
yeah.
No, hey, you are right to think that way. I mean, I think what's important is that because it's so publicized and everybody knows what happened there in Beirut, Lebanon... whatever your interpretation of the situation is people were affected. You know, I don't think you can computer generate or CGI that to a point that the world disagrees, like, oh, that didn't happen. But
No.
I think you're saying is the reason.
Yeah, so, the reason behind it. Yeah. No, I know the explosion did happen. Yeah. I mean, we all saw it. Yeah. There's no way that anybody can just make that up. You know what I mean? I mean nowadays we just don't know what's real, what's fake, you know, but at the end of the day I do know and I believe that it did happen. My theory in it is like what really happened.
Yeah. Was there something behind this?
Behind it, yeah.
I mean, we like we said, we don't know too much far into the details, and you know, really, I mean, it's just to me the video is what struck hard the most. Like seeing, you know, first of all, it's like outskirts of the city, but at the same time, the way the explosion just expands,
yeah,
it affects the whole city. And like I saw some more footage today where people's, you know, houses are blown in, cars are flipped over. You know, there's still buildings being burnt or still burning. You know, people still laying in the streets. It's such a scary thing that if there is a reason behind this, I hope they get to the bottom of it because, you know, that's just a sad thing.
It is.
It's just coincidental how all this is. You know, we got the quarantine back in March, and then we got Black Lives Matter, the murder hornets. I mean, you know, now the child trafficking, and now this, man, it's like 2020 is just starting to suck, man. Yeah.
And the thing is, that's what I'm saying. Like, could it be a part of what's going on in right now, you know? Yeah. And the thing is, it's like almost kind of like one of those things where it's a distraction to really what's happening. You know what I mean? And it's sad that there's lives on the line, you know? But hey, man, they're going to do what they're going to do, you know? So just looking at it, it's really sad to just watch it and not being able to do anything.
I mean, it just makes me think, what if that was our country?
Yeah.
I'm not just talking about America, but I'm talking about Tonga, man.
Yeah.
Just seeing something like that happen and unfold, and you can't do anything about it. So.
Yeah. So prayers
and thoughts you know, condolences to the victims. To
all the victims and, you know, everything that's happening over there. We're praying for you all, so.
Yeah. Also, this week, me and my wife caught up on some Netflix and some Disney Plus. Shout out to her. My mom and my in-laws for the accounts. But yeah, so we watched Last Chance You, Lainey College, and Black is King by Beyonce. You want to talk a little bit about those movies?
Yeah, it was like a Cry Me a River from the beginning of the show Last Chance You.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I'm saying like it was a very touching, it wasn't like a acting or anything. It's sad to know that that really happened in our community. Yeah. You know, that people really have to risk their lives to go and, you know, if
I think you're talking about Dior and
I'm
RJ.
Talking about just the movie, yeah. the show alone. It's that they really have to go through what they went through to achieve something that they're looking for. You know what I mean? And just being a football player, you know it. I mean, we went through it too. Like when you had to go through that, you know.
I do want to highlight my favorite part of the whole season was just Nuhu and just his whole interaction with Lainey. And like that last part where, you know, it's the sophomore year, sophomore game of the night. And he's like, hey guys, I just need you guys, you know, it's my last game. Just say this with me one time. It's like, 1, 2, 3, oofa.
Hey, man, I mean,
he's
did
starting
it.
Something. That shit is going to catch on, so.
And you know, they kind of, like, set an example, yeah. You know?
Shout out to Nuhu and his wife, Tia, man. You guys, man, you guys put us on
to
the map
be
and
that young,
as
yeah.
well.
To be that young and really pushing it, man, like, I applaud you guys to what you guys are doing, you know? As young as you guys are, man, keep pushing. You guys are going
to. Prayers to you guys and more success to your future.
Yeah. And Black is King. Man, that
yeah, I have nothing to say because I was just blown away. It's such a you guys gotta watch it. I'm not gonna tell you. It's a powerful message from Beyonce and her just her mind. So
just Black is King says it all. You
know
what I mean?
We're gonna go to break, but before we do, here's one for the haters. Bow.
Deuces.
See you guys in a little bit. Go get some, and we'll come right back to the discussions. All right. Jumping into our 7 subjects of discussion. 1, unnatural. 2, anxiety is the devil. 3. Samoans versus Tongans. 4. Defense mechanisms. 5. Las Vegas, Nevada. 6. Forgive them. They know what they did. 7. How to sex. What would you like to speak on?
Interesting. So, man, they're just all powerful. Like, to be honest with you, I want to go with the unnatural.
Okay, so what what this pertains to is, like, products. Lotions, processed foods, pills, medicine of that nature. You know, things that are unnatural to us human beings. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, as you begin to dive into your studies and your research, research of the world and how different cultures, societies, communities, peoples, races do things in their part of the world, you kind of start to come up with your own hypothesis, theories, or just your own way of doing things in life because of how so much of what we learn here in America is programmed into our TV and media. You know, we see it in our movies, in our magazines, and how it's portrayed in everyday life, that this is how you're supposed to do things in this society. When that's not so much the case around the world, people do a lot of things different. For instance, I know that in Tonga, lotion is the tui tui nuts, right? You crack them open, you chew the thing inside of it, and if you chew enough in it, you can actually rub it on your skin. You can use it for toothpaste, you can use it for deodorant, you can use it for moisturizer. But here in America, there's so much of these lotions, scented.
And there's so many chemicals in it.
And it can affect you. You can get stuff like eczema or the skin peels or, you know, very bad rashes and stuff. And it's so weird because a lot of, like for me, instance, sorry, I'm kind of diving off the deep end, but I have allergies. I didn't have allergies when I was little, but for some reason now, the age I'm at, I have allergies. I don't know if that pertains to all the medicine I used to take, but it's weird to me that I have allergies, but my kids don't. You know what I'm saying? How do you feel about this?
Nah, you're 100%. Like, everything you're saying, it's on point. I think as far as the unnatural things, that's what over the years, I myself personally think that that's why we're sick. That's why we're like, you know, we seem to not. Like, I feel like our body is only, what's the word for it? It works with the natural things. So,
it works with nature.
Yeah. And why I'm going back to this is that when coronavirus was happening, and I know this is off subject, but I'm bringing it up to tie into what we're talking about, is that they wanted us to be at home.
Yeah.
We weren't used to that. That was so unnatural, you know? It's like, why are you going to keep us at home? For what?
Yeah.
Well, how do you know that the nature out there is really just it takes for us to be out, you know?
And I feel like,
and as far as the unnatural lotion, all that stuff, there's so many. Like, think about it. We're putting it on our faces. We're putting, and all the breakouts that people get from it, all the allergies that people get from it, all the
reactions and symptoms.
Symptoms that come with it. The thing is, yes, it's good right now, but the aftermath, you know what
the
I mean?
Result,
what all of that, it comes later. It may not happen now, but it'll affect you later on. That goes to the same things that when we eat, the things that we put inside of our body, the things that we take it in, is it gonna last us for the? You know, because if you think about it, if you leave things on the side over 5 minutes, you'll come back, you'll see how dry that thing is. But could you imagine it putting it on our, applying it on our body and putting it in our body? How it is when it sits inside of our body.
If it acts like that,
if it acts like that outside,
imagine how it is in our body.
Yes. So that's what I mean about the unnatural thing. I remember growing up when I was in Tonga about you touching up on the coconut. I mean,
the tui tui.
The tui tui is the nuts that you're talking about, and they would eat it. And even when they're eating it, it's working in their mouth.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's cleaning,
and they would take it,
and
germs and all that. And so they'll take it on, they'll rub it on their body, and they'll use any type of leaves to mix it up. And that leaves itself
natural.
Yeah, you know
natural
what I mean?
Natural remedies.
And I remember when they would rub that on our neck, our everything. And I have a feeling that that's the reason why I don't even use underarm.
Yeah. Hey, this is not, no bullshitting. I put this on everything I love. My wife does not stink under her armpits. I do right now, but that's not the case. My wife literally has no scent under her arms. It's weird. Under her breasts, yes. But under her arms, there's no smell. So. Oh, yeah. We on Front Street.
No, not. See, this is the thing. I have my feet where it stink the most.
All right, and so I think that's
what all the natural thing comes from, you know. No, but for real, though, that's really what I think happened over the years, because I used that as a young kid.
Oh, you're right.
I had none there, you know? So.
Yeah, like for me, it's the processed foods. Like in Tonga, this is going to be weird, but you just need to do your research and you understand where I'm coming from. Livestock. I'm talking about horses, pigs, dogs, chickens, any other thing of that nature, or those group of animals are not natural to the South Pacific Islands. Those came by way of trade by the settlers who came, such as James Cook or Ferdinand Magellan or any other settlers that came by way of Europe and traded off with our people. And a lot of those foods are so unnatural to our people that there's obesity from places like Tonga, Samoa. I don't know too much of Fiji, but I know for sure in New Zealand with lamb. And the reason why that is God gave us the natural resources of the island, such as fruits, vegetables, the fishes
things
in the ocean, the sun, the plants.
Yeah.
And yet we're dying of obesity?
Yeah.
Doesn't make sense.
And not only if it's just that, but who told you roast a pig?
They normalized that when the European settlers came. They showed us and traded their way of life, but didn't want to take ours with them, so... But yeah, just being unnatural, you know, medicine, look into natural remedies for you and your family and just really get into your research, get deep into it and see what's good for you and yours, and try a lot of things on your own time.
I think that's the crazy thing about us as parents is that me and you is that a lot of parents look at us like we're crazy because we don't give our kids medicine.
Yeah.
At all.
You don't
know
try
what I mean?
To go to too many checkups and
no
shit.
No checkup or
we
anything.
We don't know what the hell they're injecting.
I think the most we do
days.
is trying to do what in order for them to go to school. You know what I mean? But other than that, now that we're doing homeschooling, everything is going to be natural.
Okay, so I'm good with that.
I'm good with it.
Okay, so moving forward, I wanted to speak on Samoans versus Tongans. And why this is important to me, or to us here at Aisle 7, the podcast, is there's a lot of misconception about our history. I did a project way back when I was in college and got a C on the paper in my philosophy class, terms 1 and 1A and 1B. And the one thing I learned was that a lot of our history was programmed by European settlers. And why this is because we actually don't have history books in Tonga or Samoa about what happened those years back when we had war against each other. A lot of what I did research on went far back as I believe the 1400s or the 1300s. I got to get my paper back, but I actually have it. Where a lot of what was programmed in our history was we hated Samoans, Samoans hated us. We stole their women, they stole our women. And, you know, this whole crazy back and forth that we killed each other and this whole misconception that we enslaved Samoans, none of that actually happened. And not only do I believe that it not only did happen, the research I did was that European settlers who came by at the time, Ferdinand Magellan in 1400s, 200 years before James Cook had reached the islands, he introduced the livestock I was talking about to our culture. And that sustained us because we shared that amongst the islands. We were a sharing and offering people to each other. We gave when we visited each other's islands. And of course there was, you know, altercations and stuff of that nature, but nothing bigger than war. James Cook comes, introduces the technology of guns and gunpowder to our people and tries to sell it to our people, Tongans and Samoans. Obviously we didn't take to it until they implanted moles in the villages of Tonga and Samoa. And these moles, or these double agents, what they were doing was starting trouble within the villages, saying that I went here and these Tongans, they killed my brother and stuff when we sailed over there. Then the Tongans that were implanted in Tonga were doing the same thing. Oh, the Samoans over there killed our people. What happened was this brought attention to the weapons that James Cook had. And he said, well, I know an easy way, chief, that you can kill your enemies, and here it is. And presented the weapons to the chiefs and the Tuis, Tuitonga, and that's how they came about with war, when they introduced the rifles. And sad enough as it is, we ended up killing each other of a misconception that happened that was implanted by the European settlers. And I got a C on this paper. I got to find it so I can just not be talking out of my ass, but how do you feel about that?
You know, I love my Samoan people. I love my Tongan people. There is no... It just really... It really hurt me that people are so... Like, and I'm talking about our people. You can't stand out there and say Black Lives Matter, but us...
Yeah, we ain't taking care of
our people. We ain't taking care of our people first. And the reason why I'm saying that is because, like, we're one. I believe it to many years that there was at one point we were just one. You know what I mean? It's funny that someone else saw something so powerful within the two, and then the only way that they can get rid of us or make us not get on them is having us go against on each other. You know what I mean? And it's powerful because, like, there's ignorant Tongans out there, there's ignorant Samoans out there that just go off by words that was passed down. You know what I mean? It's lack of knowledge, lack of understanding that, you know, I was one of them at one point. I'm not going to lie. Like, because I'm just so passionate being Tongan. And as I got older and I see that I have nieces who are Samoan, I have nieces that, or nephews that, you know, they're half. And the thing is like, I can't be ignorant like that to the fact.
Auntie, uncle, yeah, man.
And the thing is, our people
pass that on.
Yeah, our people condone that. You know what I mean? So, all I'm saying is that I disagree that there's anything that should happen as far as like Samoan versus Tongan. As far as the history is, you know, like my husband said, I feel that there's more to what it is.
Yeah.
But for the most part, I do know this. We never were like that, you know?
I believe we were not only a seafaring people, meaning that we lived life by the sea, mm-hmm. but we were a peaceful people because there was enough to go around. There was no reason for us to war against each other.
Yeah, I mean, even...
Whether it was Tongan and Samoan or Maori and Fijian, yeah. whatever the case might have been, there was no reason for any of us to fight except for, you know, if it was an ego thing or just to gain land, but... Yeah.
We both know as different, you know, Samoan and Tongan, we both know how powerful we were.
Yeah.
So it was almost kind of like an ego thing, like a pride thing, like, you know, and the reason why I'm saying that, you go back to the land and go back home, there's nothing that you can't say you didn't want to be there. You know what I mean?
I think what's more important right now is that doing the research and diving into the studies, because you can't just take word value at what... the accounts of these people who write our histories on their accounts and on their opinions about us, regardless of the research and studies, because they don't know our culture and customs. So it's really important for our own people to get out there and do our research and studies for us, to teach us, because it just doesn't seem right from a person who doesn't look like me, talk like me, exactly. teach me what I'm about. So with that being said, I mean... I love my Tongans, I love my Samoans, I love all my Pacific Islanders.
Yeah.
But just like the Hawaiians who are openly just disrespected all the time, we don't want that to happen everywhere else out in the South Pacific, where we lose our country and then we begin to lose our history and lose our background. It's such a sad thing to just see that happening in Hawaii, that it's possible that it can happen to all of us if we're not careful, because of the lack of knowledge and history we are missing in our own communities.
Yeah.
So, I mean... me and my wife are advocates. We condone researching and doing our own studies, because somebody who's outside of the culture could be watching this and be like, those two are ignorant. You know, we went there and we did our research and studies and we knew what we were looking at. So that's fine. But if you're not of the culture and you don't come from where we come from, it's easy for you to come there for about a year and do all those studies, but you didn't live there long enough to really experience what we were doing. So with that being said, I love all my people in the South Pacific Islands, but I don't believe a word of any of the history they wrote about us if it doesn't come from us.
Yeah, I'm totally agree with you. Even with the people, our people, that's continuing an account from, you know, from someone else, not like our own people. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So.
Well, I'm good with
that. I'm good with that too.
So we're going to go ahead and take our next break. When we come back, we'll continue the discussion. So, yeah. Go and do what you do. Hey guys, we're back. Now jumping into the discussions, we have Anxiety is the Devil, Defense Mechanisms, Las Vegas, Nevada. Forgive them, they know what they did, and How to Sex. So I chose last with Samoans versus Tongans.
Anxiety is the devil.
Whoo, right into it. So Anxiety is the devil is... So, you know, you guys already know that I'm Christian, and when you're Christian, you look at the world a different way, right? If you don't agree with me, feel free to let me know that. Hit me up on Instagram. But when you're a Christian, you interpret the world way different from anybody who's non-Christian. And that's not anything to hold against anybody, but what I'm saying here is when people say they have anxiety, they believe this to be a condition, whether it's a form of depression, some sort of disorder, or disease. What I believe it to be, because I'm a Christian, I see things in the mental, the physical, and the spiritual. I believe anxiety to be a spiritual diagnose. I believe anxiety is the devil messing with your spirituality, because you can be deceived, you can be whispered to things that you want to hear, and far worse than that, you can be in a group of around a group of people who are taking advantage of you, and you're not even aware of it. How do you feel about that?
Yeah. So, as far as what we're talking about, as far as anxiety, I used to be the type of person that never believed anxiety. I didn't know what anxiety was. I never knew what kind of attitude that comes in it. I never knew whether if it's anxiety even a real thing, you know, because yeah. I didn't know it until I think as old as I get, I'm starting to understand. I'm starting to see different behavior from people. I'm starting to understand in a better better perspective when I see people, you know what I mean? Yeah. Because I think the thing that really highlighted for me and you mm-hmm. with anxiety is, remember when we were watching that show, The Last Chance You?
Yeah.
And what was his name?
Dior.
Yeah,
and
Dior.
His father was coming back yeah. into his life.
It's real, because I saw how it affected him
physically
when he was playing. And
you saw what it did to him mentally,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, because the thing is, It didn't stand out to me until the second time he was on his game. The first game, he did a hell of a great job.
He balled out. Shout out to Dior.
And it's true, because one thing that I know is when we think about something so much,
it manifests.
It affected you. Yeah. You know what I mean? And it sit on you, which is why anxiety really is real, man. Because if you don't locate that problem and attack it right then and there, you're gonna go crazy. Did you see it for the second game when he was playing? He did a horrible job. Like, I'm sorry to say that, but he wasn't performing as his last game. And you saw him already starting to feel like, oh, I can't breathe. Oh, I can this, because of something that might have messed you up mentally as a young kid. And it sure did. Something did mess him up when he was a little kid, you know, because he held it against his dad.
Yeah.
And my thing is like, if you would have asked me this years back, I would have probably said no. But, you know, we got to learn how to forgive things as far as something that might have triggered you. You yeah. know what I mean? As a young kid, because the thing is, if you carried on that, it can affect you mentally, it can affect you physically, it can affect you emotionally, because I'm telling you, as an athlete, if you're not focused, you're not gonna do as best, you know? So, that's what I got from you. What about you, babe?
So, anxiety, a feeling of worry, nervousness, or unease, typically about an imminent event or something with an uncertain outcome. And then I wanna give you the definition of the devil. Definition of the devil or deviant: in Christian or Jewish belief, the chief evil spirit Satan, and here's one of the verbs it describes, harasses and makes worrisome of others. So why I believe anxiety is the devil, looking at it from the point of view of a Christian or just a believer or whatever faith you follow, the devil can bother you in a way that you can't see him, hear him, feel him. The senses can't pick him up, but he's there. And why I say that is because you can't explain what the hell's going on with you. you're breathing, you're hyperventilating, your chest is, it feels like your heart's about to pop out. You know, your joints are weak, you can't stand straight, you need to sit down before you pass out. And then all of a sudden you're just thinking so much about what's bothering you, and things begin to manifest because of what's in your thought process. And it's like, dude, what's going on? And you're removing yourself from the spirituality in you. You got to balance your mind, your body, and your spirit. And why that's so important is because you remove the mind and body, the spirit is not functioning well. You get what I'm saying? I'm a firm believer in that. It's the same way as if you're just worrying so much about the spirit, your functionality of the mind and body is not as well either. You have to keep them all balanced. And how you do that is, for me personally, one of my therapies that I like to deal with is scriptures. It's just praying, being around like-minded people who have that high spiritual, you know, potency of just like speaking life. You know, babe, I don't know what's wrong with me. She would just immediately check me. Hey, calm down. We'll just pray. Everything's good. She'll check me that way. But a lot of this is not made available to the public because they try to close your eyes and blind you off and tell you these commercials where it's like, are you feeling like Bob here? Anxious, tired, your knees hurting? You might be dealing with anxiety, and we have treatments and medicine that you could be using.
It's going to make it worse.
And that's false advertisement. So I believe anxiety is the devil, because when you believe it's something you're under, that's the devil telling you and making you believe that you're sick in that manner.
And the devil will go for what trigger you.
Yeah.
Like, and it's crazy because like you could just be over that. Like even for me, like I used to have this thing, you know, in the beginning, I was always worried about bills. I was always worried about like, what are we gonna do with this? Like I was like making plan of when I'm gonna get paid, this is what's gonna happen. And the thing is, I would stress myself out when it doesn't fall out the way I planned out. Yeah. You know, and the thing is, it's like anxiety kick in, and then I'm over here waking up 3 o'clock in the morning thinking about the same thing I thought about the whole day before.
Yeah.
Because your brain is like, it's just sitting on that focus on it. And it's funny, it's crazy to say this, but that's what people get to suicide, like, yeah, you know, like think like that, because
if you attack the mind yeah, and body so much, the spirit becomes weak.
Man,
so,
yeah,
I'm good with that.
Good with that.
Yeah, so really just try to be around like-minded, life-speaking and praying people.
It's only for that moment, and it's gonna be over.
It'll pass, just like any storm.
Yeah.
So moving forward. Las Vegas, Nevada. Why I want to highlight this is, so me and my wife, obviously, we live here in Las Vegas, Nevada. We love this place. We just wanted to highlight the fact that, you know, because we met here, like, this is our home. And our kids are born here, and, you know, we found many of our opportunities here. If you're ever in Las Vegas, Nevada, and, you know, you want to visit us or hang out, you know, just feel free to hit us up on Instagram or email us. But check out the scenery. There's a lot to do. It's not just the city, you know, all the casinos and spots you could visit on the strip. That's going to be there. But, you know, there's hiking here. There's a lake. There's scenery up in the mountains. You can go to Mount Charleston, you know, up north to where Nellis Air Force Base is. You can even go up to Mesquite.
There's
so much to do out here that don't just limit yourself when you come to the strip, because, you know, that all that, like, I smoke and drink. I used to do it a lot when I was younger, but that paints a bad light on the city. There's better things to do here than just come here, get fucked up, and lose your money. Because all it ever really does is promote more negativity about this place. And we're all about positivity, and that's not pushed a lot. So Las Vegas, Nevada is a real positive place. You just got to look outside of the inner circle. So how do you feel about that?
Las Vegas, to be honest, I moved here from California. I used to live in Cali and then moved out here. So Vegas, it's always gonna be home for me, only because I've settled here at a teenager, and then now as a mother, I have a family here, and everything's so familiar, everything's small, everything just so tight, and like my husband said, there's so many things here that it's good for family. And if I was to tell anybody, yeah, raise your family out here. It's a good place to have your kids here. It's a good place to raise your family. And to be honest with you, there's really not that many crazy... Yeah, there's always going to be crazy thing happening in different areas and things like that. But Vegas, not so much. You know, it feels like home. You know what I mean? When I say that, because every time we leave Vegas, we always want to come back home. You know what I mean? I would like to move somewhere else, but for the most part, Vegas is home.
I'm good with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so visit. Moving forward, what would you like to choose? We have defense mechanisms. Forgive them. They know what they did.
Forgive them.
Okay. I would actually like to say that there's a lot we can speak about.
Okay, then.
So, would you mind? Because this would be quick, but how to sex.
Yeah, do that.
So, how to sex basically is like... So, we spoke on it about it in season one, about trying to normalize the conversation about sex with our family so they don't hide it and go do bad with it. Because sex is a beautiful thing. God made it, right? And we got to normalize that conversation more and more in our culture, in our communities, and in society with our people of color and immigrancy. That it's okay to talk about these things because it should be normalized, that we don't want to taboo it too much to where it goes makes people go crazy and do stupid things with it. What I'm saying is that my spouse, my partner, the one I love, I have to communicate with her how we go about sex. It's not about just what I want. It's also what she wants, what we need. You know, does this feel good? Is it about size? You know, is that smell? Do you like it when I touch it there? A lot of that has to pertain to communicating. You just don't jump into it because you can. That's irresponsible. If you don't want to have a baby, talk about it, man. Don't just be out here irresponsibly without protection doing these stupid things. How do you feel about that?
How to sex is not a comfortable conversation, but I'm glad you brought it up because we need to talk about that because it's better than us finding out our kids are behind our back doing things, you know? And yeah, you're right about that, babe. You know, I myself have never, you know, experienced sex, you know, until I met you. Yeah. So yeah, there's other than the little holding hands and doing other, no, I'm meaning like really physical getting into it physically. And the thing was it was uncomfortable at first because it was just like, you know, this is my body. I've never shared it. You know what I mean? It's the temple. So, getting to having kids after, it's like you get a little bit comfortable here and there, and I like it because you had so much experience. It we kind of like in sync because we communicate about those things, you know. And let's be honest, you have a higher sex drive than I do, and the reason why I'm saying that is because you've just had experience. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, it's not a bad thing because sex is good for your body as well.
Yeah, it's good for your mind, body, and spirit.
So, with that being said, I'm okay with that.
So, I align the sex activity or intercourse with mind, body, and spirit. I have to correlate everything in my life because if there's no balance, I can't maintain my life.
Yeah.
Sex comes from God, and we can't abuse that.
Yeah.
You know, if you're doing it out of wedlock, I understand, man. Hey, we've all had those temptations.
No one is judging.
But the reason why it's important when you're sharing it with somebody, right? You're not just out there willy-nilly doing it with whoever you want. Because spiritually, you're giving a part of yourself to somebody that's going to keep you for the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll think about those partners. If you think I'm lying, you probably think about them right now. But what's important about it is if you really love somebody and you share that connection and that relationship with them, that's something you give to them with your all, your mind, your body, and your spirit. You think about them, you feel them, but more importantly, you believe in them. And if you don't culminate all that into one big outcome, sad enough as it is, you're out there and the only thing you're satisfying is one part of the aspect, probably just physical. You're only getting a physical satisfaction and you're always questioning, why am I not happy? Why am I not happy? Well, because you're out there sharing the most sacred parts of yourself with people who don't care about it. You know what I'm saying? And I learned that in my spiritual studies, shout out to my mentors, that we have to love ourselves before we can love unto other people.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm good with that.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
Okay. So, we're going to take a break. When you guys come back, we'll finish out our discussion. But just really try to normalize these conversations with your family, your teenagers, your kids, or, you know, your parents, and make it normal to where it's okay and comfortable. We can talk about this because it's a curiosity thing. So,
yes.
With that being said, take a break, come back, and we'll finish. All right, end game. Here we go. So, defense mechanisms. Forgive them. They know what they did. would you like to talk about?
Didn't I just pick the last one?
No, the other one I chose, okay, because it was quick.
Forgive them. They know what they did.
So, forgive them. They know what they did pertains to the saying or the metaphor, forgive them for they know not what they do, right? We've heard it in the Bible many times. Forgive them for they know not what they do. Well, how about the latter, which is also true? Forgive them because they know what they did, right? I'm not going to lie. Me and my wife, one thing we've always connected and shared together and had in commonality in the beginning of our relationship was a lot of people did us wrong. And, you know, when jumping into the idea of forgiveness as a Christian, you know, it's like I was saying earlier about turning the other cheek with my opening statement. Forgive them, yeah, for they know not what they do, right? Jesus said that, I believe, while he was crucified on the cross, if I believe so, when you know, he was talking to his father while he was on the cross, Father, forgive them for they know not what they do. And, you know, in context, that makes sense there. But if you went behind my back and you were talking shit about me to a group of people that don't like me and I don't like them, I'm not going to just forgive you because you know not what you do. I forgive you because you know what you did. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I think the important part about forgiving people who know what they've done is that they have to acknowledge that they did it. And a lot of the times, these people try to play dumb and act like, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't know. Yes, you knew, bro. You fucking knew.
Yep.
How do you feel about that?
So, the way I see as far as it's just forgiving. Forgiving,
yeah,
you know, like you said before,
the important part.
Yeah, like you said before, regardless of whatever the situation, the case may be, I see it as this. Like, I think I've said it in our last our last season about forgiving my mother. You know, there was, yeah, one of the thing that I had to really let go of before I can really hurt myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because the one thing I find forgiving because they know what they did, it doesn't apply for my mother alone. It applies for everyone I came across who really, to be honest, I feel like everyone I came across, not saying, you know, disregard the other people that helped me along the way or, you know, was there for me along the way, but the people that I see as a really close people to me, is that one thing I've always tell myself is that I can, if I don't forgive them, I could really harm myself even more than what they did to me. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So forgiving them is almost kind of like, it's part of my growth, part of my growing, because if I don't let go of that alone, I can't move on with what I do with my family. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because then I end up hurting me. I end up moving that pain over to my spouse and over to my family. Because, do you remember, I'll give you an example. Do you remember when I told you about that game when I was playing rugby?
Yeah.
And I told you I'm gonna make sure they know how I feel?
Yeah.
It's almost get you out of your character.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Because now you're gonna hurt someone else.
The spirit comes over you.
Yeah. It's almost like that thing where, like, instead of the thing that they hurt you, now you're trying to hurt them. Not only them, but you're hurting yourself and the people around you as well.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Yeah. So my thing is like, they know what they did. Mm-hmm. You as a person, though.
But I'm going to forgive you.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to forgive you because I'm going to be okay.
Yeah.
You know, there's so many hurtful things, you know, me and you both dealt growing up. And the one thing that we did better than anybody is forgiving them, yeah, you know?
I think, like for me, we've been unlawfully evicted twice already before in our lifetime. And, you know, those two situations was, we just didn't know any better, but also people taking advantage of us. The first time being my wife's sisters-in-laws. We stayed with them, we paid the month, and we still got evicted. And that sucked, and we trusted those people to really help us in a time where we needed help. You know, our first daughter was born and it didn't go so well, and my wife was working, I wasn't, still trying to go back and forth with football, but nevertheless, going back to it, we forgave those people, and they know what they did, but we forgave them anyways because it was to bring us peace, not them, us. And because they know what they did, they know that we could never ever trust them again, but this is where we stand.
Same.
Yeah, this is where we stand, right? So, And then, you know, the second time we spoke about that at season one, so I don't have to go over that. But really forgiving somebody and is peace for you, because they already know what they did. It's not about they know not what they've done. They know what they've done, but we forgive them because it brings us peace. So we don't have to worry about you. You know, I've dealt with my brothers and sisters, small minor cases, but like somebody who would do me wrong and they know they did me wrong, it's a question of why did you do it in the first place then? You know what? Forget it. I forgive you, bro, but just know I don't fuck with you anymore after that. So, yeah.
Yeah. You know, and it sucks too, because it's funny that they were just talking about forgiving too. It's like people try to make little comments or like little phrase like life is too short.
Yeah,
like, you know, things like
come
that.
On, and it's like, you gotta,
come on,
they try to justify.
Yeah, but my thing is like, my energy and my life and my everything, I'm not gonna waste it on something that.
Yeah, it's not like gonna, life is too short for me to validate what you did to me.
Exactly. So, not saying like we're being harsh or saying that, but man, we're
just value.
Doing me wrong the first time, you know, we'll let that slide. The second time, I'm that dumb to just really just, you know
fool
what I mean?
Fool me once, shame on me. Yeah. Fool me twice, shame on you. Fool me a third time, I'm fucking everybody up.
So yeah, I'm good with that, man.
I'm good. So moving forward, defense mechanisms.
Oh, I love this one.
And this is more like into the mind, more into detail with, you know, therapy, right? When you recognize or you can, recognizing defense mechanisms is like something like somebody who would validate themselves in what they do because they don't know any other way, right? So, for instance, if I tell my brother, you're smoking because you're avoiding your problems that you have to deal with in the real world, he would treat it as in like, oh no, I smoke because it gives me a spiritual uplifting experience. But really, he hasn't still dealt with the problems that is still in front of him. He's just kind of running away from them because every time the thoughts overbear his mind, he has to smoke to get him out or to think of something else or relax him. How do you feel about that?
So when I hear that word, the first thing that comes to mind is you're in denial.
Yes.
You know? Yeah. And I used to be like that. Mm-hmm. And the reason why, I think a lot of the people that and I say this because I think this is one thing that I can relate to anybody that didn't grow up with their parents. We had to have that. Mm-hmm. I hate to say that, but I myself, I needed that because it was my only way of protecting myself. You know, growing up with a house full of nothing but not your siblings, nothing but not who you're supposed to be at, you started to build that within yourself. And the reason why is because no one else will have your back but yourself. So you start doing this thing where like, you know, once somebody get on you, you kind of like come back probably worse and negative than that, but it's because you're trying to cover everything that's around you.
Yeah.
You know you don't belong there. You know they're not your siblings, but every day you wake up saying you got to call them mom and dad, but they're really not your mom and dad. You know what I mean? So like when you yourself try to fit in, I feel like that's the reason, that's when defensive mechanism comes in, because you're trying to protect yourself.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You don't want to be vulnerable.
You don't want to be, hurt. Yeah. You don't want to get hurt. And like, you know, when you grow up and then you look back and you're like, man, I had to do that because I was in denial that I didn't have a father. I was in denial that I didn't have my mother there.
No.
You know what I mean? I didn't have any support. Yes, they were right. They were right that my mom was leaving me, you know, and not worried about where I was at. All these years. And you know, I forgave them and all that stuff. I'm just saying, I'm talking into my experience of what I get from defensive, you know.
I have a relationship with a lot of different people of different backgrounds, of different, you know, creeds and origins and orientations. But, you know, there would be a few I speak on. One is like one of my closest best friends, same name as me. And I'm not going to say who it is, but, you know, when he dealt with his first breakup, you know, first of all, fuck that bitch because, man, she fucked up my boy. And I had to do everything in my power to get him back to who he was. Me and my other boys, but his defense mechanism was like, nah, man, you know, I loved her, but yeah, everything was good, man. It was good. And it's like, no, it isn't good, bro, because you ain't showering, you ain't eating. You know, you're not coming out and getting some light with us. You should be coming out. And, you know, you're young. There's no reason why you should be dwelling on this girl. And it was just more or less like every time we brought her up, it's like, nah, you know, I'm good. Nah, I'm good, you know, bro, like, it's effort. But when we started to drink, man, that's when I would notice, like, the talks would come up where he'd be like, you know, just, I really loved her. And I'm like, damn, bro, you have to say that when you're drunk, but you can't do it. So I knew these were defense mechanisms because he would say it when he was sober, but he wouldn't, he would defend himself when he was he would release it when he was drunk, but he would defend himself when he was sober. I said that wrong. And that's a form of defense mechanism right there. He was denying the fact that he was heartbroken by, you know, trying to validate whatever he was doing at the moment that he wasn't heartbroken. Another case was I used to work security at a high school out here, and there was a coworker of mine's, a Caucasian female, I'm not going to say her name, but she didn't understand why black people, not disenfranchise themselves, but get themselves into trouble. And I remember having the conversation and saying that, you know, black people don't have as many opportunities or the well-funding backgrounds as other minorities or other, you know, well-off people. So when they're in environments that basically push them to do these things, it's understandable why that's the only outlets they have. And she just kind of was like confused. I don't get it. And when I would tell her, are you ignorant? Do you think you might be ignorant? Her whole defense said, no, some of my greatest friends are black and I have black half grandchildren. And it's like, okay, but that doesn't mean you're not ignorant. It just means you're trying to validate the fact that you're possibly not racist. Mm-hmm. That's another form of defense mechanism.
Yeah, it's like you're denying the fact that the minute you start already saying
identifying
stuff like, and trying, yeah, that's the truth. When you say, oh, I'm not racist, yeah, you are. Mm-hmm. Or I'm not ignorant, yes, you are. You know, it's like things like that. But, you know, we learn and we live and we learn. And the one of the biggest things that me and you both do is that it's almost kind of like an ego thing too as well. You know what I mean?
Can I say something?
Yeah.
Like, I know for me, my defense mechanism against my wife is like, she'll be eating or she'll be making something in the kitchen. And like, are you hungry? No, just wanting to see what you're eating. Is that pancakes? No. And she's like, just say you're hungry. And you know, I'm expecting her to make it, but it's like, I'm denying the fact that I am hungry. I want her to make it for me. That's as minor as it is, it's still a defense mechanism. You know, it's a prideful thing because I want her to make it for me, but I don't want to say make it for me.
We used to use that a lot in the beginning of our relationship. So
a lot of defense mechanisms.
A lot.
Like, I know personally for me, a lot of it I deal with my older generation. And, you know, specifically, I'm not pointing anybody out, but like a lot of the stuff we talk about here on All 7, the podcast, alienates us. It isolates us from other people because they're like, oh, I can't fuck with you because you, you know, that's our
culture. I mean, I'm not going to lie. After we started this whole thing, we've lost a lot of people that we hardly hang around with. We don't kick it with the same people, you know, and it's like because our growth is in different levels, you know, we can't have the same old friends that we have back in like 10 years ago.
Yeah, because we can't have that same function
mentally,
that we were doing.
Mentality, yeah. Because we're in a different thing. Not saying we're better. We just have a better way of understanding things.
Like for me, like their defense mechanism when I approach them about like my podcast or if we talk about it, it's like, oh yeah, I deleted my Instagram. Or, oh, I didn't know I wasn't following you.
What was that? Like, or, oh, I'm
yeah,
sorry.
I saw that thing last night. What were you guys doing on it?
Yeah.
So it's like, you have the conversation. We're not trying to put ourselves on a pedestal, but we're just saying.
We don't.
it's out there what we're doing. We're not hiding it. So whatever defense mechanism you've got to incorporate in your life to protect yourself, by all means, we pray that works for you. But for us, we don't need them. So.
Yeah. I'm good with that, man.
I'm good with that, too. Hey, this is episode 5 of Aisle 7, the podcast. We're trying to complete another season. Our season mid-finale is coming up next week. We're going to shoot episode 6, and then we're going to take a break. But, you know, thank you guys so much for the support.
Thank you for the support.
You know,
thank
we still you. Need sponsors. Final
it's
feast.
It's going to come. Thank you guys for everything, and thank you for always speaking, you know, words and support for us. So, be still.
Ja blesses all the time, and all the time, Ja blesses. And from us to you, above all else, Ja bless. Love you.
Love you too.